Money FM 89.3, best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
I'm Michelle Martin. Welcome to Money and Me, conversations with real investors for clever investors. Let me run through the advances, top advances list this morning. Perennial Holdings, top of that list, up 36%. Last on share price, 94 cents. Perennial Real Estate CEO, Poasek Guan, and substantial shareholders, Ron Sim and Kwok Koon Hong, are partnering with Hopu Fund Management to privatize and delist the group at 95 cents per share, or 37.7% premium to its last close. The consortium owns or has secured irrevocable undertakings for an 84.43% stake, and Hopu will fund the cost of acquiring the remaining 17.57%. Other hot stocks this morning, Creative, they're up by 3.62% to $3.15. UIC, it up 2.68% to $2.30, and Hobbyland up 2.4% to $2.13. Big news this morning, private sector economists expect Singapore's economy to contract this year, 5.8%. That's with an 11.8% year-on-year contraction in the second quarter. What does this mean for you? We're going to check in now with Swapnil Mishra. He's head of private wealth at Crystal AI. Good morning, Swapnil. How are you?
Good morning, Michelle. I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Okay, so let's take apart this news that has just come in, really. Private sector economists and their findings, according to findings from the latest MAS survey, a professional forecaster saying they expect Singapore's full year gross domestic product to decline 5.8% in 2020. What do investors need to take from this?
I think the clear message here is the pessimism in the report, or in terms of the survey results. While it is it's news or it is forecasting something which is in line with the general expectation, so slowdown and contraction was expected because we can see that happening around us because of the circuit breakers and various restrictions. I think the degree is what has probably more surprising, personally for me. I think the number that is being mentioned over here in terms of percentages is much higher. And I would say a little more detail has to be seen in terms of the specific sectors, because it's not all bad news. I think it's some sectors will be hit harder and some may actually benefit.
All right, we'll get into those in just a bit. If we look at the global economy, Asia-Pacific stocks starting this week in the red this morning, it's been a fairly bearish week on Wall Street. What are you expecting this week?
I think the trigger for this started... So last week definitely was a softer week after a long time, especially in the U.S. market. And probably the trigger was, after the Fed chairman Powell delivered his speech. And I think it's about what he did not say in his speech. So he said a lot of right things of how, whatever it takes, the mantra that the Fed has adopted. But the fact that he did not say that the recovery is going to be swift and painless, and he did not say that there is a rosy future for the next few quarters, and he did not say that the second wave is not going to happen. And I think...
Great point.
Those are the points which, people are kind of, or the investors are weighing in and saying, okay, let me take stock of the situation, and hence a little bit of, I guess, profit taking or money off the table or de-risking of portfolios or positions.
So do you think that bearish sentiment is taking over, at least with U.S. markets, or do you think investors are really going to be keeping an eye out on that key figure, and that is the number of COVID-19 cases, new cases?
So COVID-19 is definitely something which is on the radar, and we can see even in case of US, the trend is downward, although its journey itself, it kind of spikes up and down. I think in California there has been an increase. I read some news in Beijing they have had to close some areas because of a spike in numbers. So it will definitely be there. However, I feel we are not able to really measure the impact of liquidity that is available. So that's also a big driver, where if Fed has provided the liquidity, then that can also keep the market supported with new buyers coming in.
Okay, key points there. Swapnil Mishra, head of private wealth at Crystal AI, joining us this morning in Money and Me. Let's bring it back to home news. Temasek Holdings has agreed to support a $2.1 billion rights issue by loss-making Sembcorp Marine, which will be demerged from its parent Sembcorp Industries. So the rescue plan by SCI and Semarine entails a 5-for-1 renounceable rights issue at an issue price of 20 cents per share. Sembcorp Industries owns 61% of Marine. It'll subscribe for up to 1.5 billion of rights shares by setting off a 1.5 billion subordinated loan. Broadly, what is your take on this divorce, if you will, if I can use that analogy, and how could this affect Sembcorp Industries' bottom line?
If you're using the analogy of divorce, you know, not all of them are smooth and efficient. So, you know, what happens here? There's a lot of uncertainty with the entire divorce itself. In terms of the reasons, it's pretty clear, because the problems with Sembcorp Marine, they are not new. You know, they've been struggling with declining revenues since 2014, and is just the COVID situation has you know, accelerated the decision making that something needs to be done. So it's kind of like how, you know, in case of banks, you see carving out a bad bank. Which is a painful decision in the short term, but in the long run, it allows the successful part of the business or the flourishing part of the business to do well and isolate the problem. So I think that's the, in my view, that's the reason for the separation. Now, what happens after that is, I think, a question mark, because of course there is this, you know, speculation around the merger that could happen, or is it something that they actually want to you know, revive by focusing on increasing revenues for Sembcorp Marine itself.
Okay, so what about Sembcorp Marine? There has been talk of a possible merger with Keppel O&M. OCBC Credit Research has upgraded the issuer profile of Sembcorp Industries to neutral. But with Sembcorp Marine, is it time to buy in?
It's a high-risk trade if you're looking to buy in. I would say Sembcorp Industries itself is also going to benefit, and we've actually seen some rally in Sembcorp Industries itself. So if between the two, I would say the Sembcorp Marine is a high risk, and it is also dependent on an event of a merger happening, because if the merger doesn't happen, then in the short run, we are not seeing an immediate turnaround with the profitability just by separating.
Okay, let's get a check on their share prices. Sembcorp Industries last traded down 1% to $1.98. Sembcorp Marine last traded down 1.74% to 56.5 cents. We talked about that. Let's move now to FOMC details. We chatted about this briefly at the start. Do you think there's going to be permanent damage if states delay their openings based on the pessimism that we heard from Jerome Powell and the omission, as you say, of, you know, good news that markets were hoping for?
I think the Fed reiterating that they will do whatever it takes is a powerful message, even if the coronavirus kind of lockdown implications continue to complicate matters. So at least in case of U.S., the easing is happening. Trump has announced a rally. So that's, you know, that is a massive a step in terms of opening up the economy. There'll be 20,000 people in the venue. So I think the fact that spending may not come back or growth may not come back to the pre-COVID levels, but at least the start of that will be a positive signal. And I think investors will pay attention to that as well, in terms of new buyers coming into the market.
You know, here in Singapore, we pledge our commitment to globalization despite the pandemic inspiring what's been seen as a rise in protectionist trade policies worldwide, you know, a retreat from globalization and erection of more protectionist barriers. That was part of the takeaways we heard from Trade and Industry Minister Chan Chun Sing in a televised address to the nation on Sunday. I wonder, you know, because Singapore's economy relies so heavily on trade, trade. When you hear messages like that, that the rest of the world is pulling back, retreating from globalization, what as an investor does it make you sit up and think of in terms of potential sectors that are going to be suffering and those that could be benefiting?
I think that's a very valid question because, see, if you add the data point of IMF saying that the global growth, you know, outlook is going to be cut, and they're talking about a contraction in the global trade by almost 10%. And then you have a situation where markets like Singapore are, you know, in a way vulnerable to these external shocks because it's kind of interlinked, it's connected with various parts of the world. And if that's happening to the economy, from an investor's perspective, should one focus on a very Asia-centric portfolio or a, you know, more global? I think the answer here is diversification, because the decoupling and the impact of global stocks on regional markets is something which has been there at least for the last two decades, which is my personal experience. And this topic keeps coming up. There's no real answer. I mean, of course, there is a divergence that has been happening over a period of time where U.S. markets have outperformed the Asian or emerging markets. Mm-hmm. But I feel diversification is the answer from an investor's perspective. So, you know, invest in different markets because they will all be impacted differently depending on how much global trade shrinks or kind of comes back.
Yeah, great perspective there. Speaking of diversification, let's take a look at Lendlease REIT, an independent cinema, hawker stall and multiple event spaces set to take over some 48,000 square feet of Grange Road car park. It's all part of major efforts to rejuvenate Orchard. So main board listed Lendlease Global Commercial REIT announced these plans on Saturday. That's after they won a tender to redevelop this open air car park space at the junction of Grange Road and Somerset Road. So, what does this mean for the real estate space?
I mean, at least it's one positive headline. So, I think that is a good start. where somebody's actually bidding. You know, I just hope it was not that Lendlease was the only company bidding and hence they won the bid. But I think it is a positive sign. It is also connecting to the earlier MAS survey result. 2021 forecast is still positive. And I think if this is the way, and interest rates are low, so from Lendlease's point of view, if they have bid this, and you know, it's a sign that while we are going through times which are tough, there is a future and things will recover, and that demand is being anticipated and plans being made to cater to that demand, which will emerge, let's say next year.
Yeah. It's a development project estimated to cost around $10 million. The redevelopment, I mean, doesn't this depend on crowds coming back to open spaces, though?
Yeah. So, which is why I think it's more a 2021-22 kind of thing.
Yeah.
Although the stock, I think it's there on a couple of banks have put it on their buy list as well. So, and not just now, I think in May itself, the stock had been put on the buy list, or at least people like the stock.
All right. Speaking of buy lists, what sectors and stocks are you looking at, Swapnil?
I think we are seeing, in case of U.S. markets, for sure, we are seeing a sector rotation that's happening. So tech, big tech led the rally and now has kind of slowing down. I think pharma and healthcare as a sector has still room to go. So that's a sector which I think is still relevant. In terms of vaccine also, we don't know, but you know, the trials have started and at multiple places, and which means, you know, you may have some positive news coming out of that sector as early as maybe quarter three, quarter four. So I would say healthcare, pharma. In terms of interest rates, I mean, the fixed income space, I would say, you know, government bonds, treasuries, because interest rates are going to remain low. I think that's also a good kind of diversifier or a stabilizer in a portfolio.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your insights. Great talking to you as always. He's Swapnil Mishra, Head of Private Wealth at Crystal AI, joining us since this morning in Money and Me.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.